Welcome to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite with one of my favorite people in the world, Larry Weissman from USA Today, to talk about the Pro Bowl, talk about the playoffs. Larry Weissman, how are you?
Hello, Nick. How you doing?
I am doing marvelous. Listen, I cannot get over that Tom Brady was left off the Pro Bowl team. This is a guy who, with the New England Patriots, with the least talent at wide receiver he's ever had, certainly in the last 5-6 years, has led that team to the playoffs. They're 10-4. He's not played his best, but he's certainly played extremely well. It's just crazy. What do you think is going on with the Pro Bowl, my friend?
Well, you know, a lot of it is the popularity contest. And certainly fan votes have a lot to do with these things, and they do get caught up in the story of the day or story of the year. And then, you know, you look at the quarterbacks that made it from the AFC, Peyton Manning, Carson Palmer, Phillip Rivers, all of them, you know, much better numbers than Brady has. I wouldn't go out on a limb and say that Phillip Rivers has the greatest receiving core I've ever seen. So I don't know when there's three slots how you put four people in them. Somebody is obviously going to get left out.
Yep. Well, listen, when we come back, let's talk some more about that. Let's talk about another quarterback, Vince Young, and what he's done. We're going to be joined by Tim Brown at the last part of the segment. Then we'll have this last segment on football, talking with J.C. Pearson. We'll have Amy Mullins from the Women's Sports Foundation talking about the Olympic report card, women in sports. And finally, we'll be joined at the end of today's show by the crazy Gary McCord from CBS Golf. But in a minute, we'll be back with Larry Weissman, one of the top writers for USA Today. Stay with us on Sirius Satellite and Sports Byline. We'll be right back.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states, so call now and see if you qualify. 866-503-MEGA, 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
George Rosen III from the renowned Hallmark Institute of Photography.
If you are like many of our incoming students, you're wondering if now's the time to make an important change in your life. If you're serious about a career in which you can earn a living and be happy, and photography is your passion, our 10-month intensive program is your ticket to change. Don't wait any longer. Visit us at hallmark.edu. I'm George Rosen III, president of Hallmark Institute of Photography, where our mission is your success.
Hallmark Institute of Photography, 413-863-2478.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
How would you like to make a full-time income working from home? Now you can with the proven work-from-home system at homebiz47.com. That's homebiz, the number 47.com. Order your free work-at-home training package today. See how you could spend more time with your family and earn more income than you ever imagined.
Life is absolutely amazing now. I have a business that allows me to be a full-time stay-at-home mom. I can work from home and actually bring in a six-figure income. My husband will be retiring out of corporate America in a few short months at the age of 36 and be coming home to work with me full-time. And our daughter will have both parents at home, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Order your free work-at-home training package and free DVD by logging on to homebiz47.com. Shipping is not included. Change your life. Log on to homebiz47.com. That's homebiz47.com.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
Here's Seth Joyner from yesterday's show.
It's almost like the league wants to see these guys become stars. Not that, you know, I don't want to see them become stars, but I thought that when you made the Pro Bowl, you made the Pro Bowl because you were the best person at that position. And you cannot tell me, even though, you know, San Diego's had a great run, they've had a great run because LaDainian Tomlinson has made it very easy for Phillip Rivers to make this transition. When you run the ball the way that he's running the ball, it's very easy to play the position of quarterback.
Seth Joyner, Larry Weisman. One more comment about Phillip Rivers. No question that he's done a great job. No question that as a young quarterback, he's done extremely well. No question that he doesn't deserve to be recognized for that. But do you really think he deserved to be there ahead of Tom Brady?
That kind of year, and I would say that when the Chargers lost early in the season in Baltimore, when Marty Schottenheimer showed at that point he was afraid to let Phillip Rivers try and win a game, the Chargers were angry. And the coaching change. Rivers has had a terrific year. Not every game, certainly being a great one. But the part of that argument that I reject is that when you look at the top quarterbacks or guys who are making the Pro Bowl, they all have a good running back. Certainly not a LaDainian Tomlinson, but every quarterback's success is almost always going to be predicated on some balance in the offense and the ability of in that scheme to make people think run first or draw a safety up and open up things downfield. And Tony Romo makes it from the Dallas Cowboys. Did I miss something, or do they have two terrific running backs?
Yeah, well, I just find it amazing that perhaps a guy that will go down in history as one of the top two or three quarterbacks is left off. But then again, that's part of the notion of any sort of voting situation. Who are people that you do truly believe should be on the Pro Bowl team that did not make it this year?
Well, I think one of the more egregious absences was Trevor Price off the Baltimore Ravens. He's just had an outstanding season. He's got about 12 sacks. He's really energized that front defensive line and given them just one more presence up front. But, you know, my understanding was that Price was not a popular guy when he was in Denver's locker room years ago, and I would tend to think maybe he didn't get any player votes from the Broncos side, and that would hurt him.
What about Warren Sapp on a 2-12 Raiders team? Do you think he deserves to make it?
Well, I don't know. He had a better year than he had last year. I've only seen the Raiders play once, and you know, they've been so vulnerable to the run. I mean, people talk about them having the Raiders having a very good pass defense, and they do play the pass fairly well, but they generally don't have to play it as often as you'd think because people just run on them. And when you run on teams, where do you run? You run up the middle.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's switch subjects to the interesting notion of the PR challenge for head coaches. A lot of head coaches take that head coaching position because they're good at X's and O's, and they find out very quickly that so much of that position is handling the press, is not only handling the press one-on-one, but also helping their players deal with it so they don't subvert or distract them from the task at hand. Let's talk about Jim Mora. He's quoted in today's ESPN website, says, "I've said things that have been inflammatory in the past, and immediately I've gotten a pit in my stomach. I never felt this way with this interview because I felt like it was all fun and banter. It took me a while to realize that people were taking this seriously." Most people, what do you think it is? 99% think that this was a serious statement by him?
I think that there are people who believe that Jim Mora is trying to get fired or to make it look like he got fired for things other than his handling of the Falcons football team. I think it's going to be pretty hard for him to keep his job if that team doesn't make the playoffs. They have an impatient owner. He's not going to tolerate two seasons in a row out of the playoffs. And I think if it comes to them asking him to, you know, make a human sacrifice to put the offensive coordinator Greg Knapp on the altar and get him in the Night of Long Knives, that would be enough to precipitate a change on the spot. So I think that, you know, Jim Mora is looking for ways of saving face here in what's, you know, not been a great situation.
Do you think he deserves to stay, just based on the team's performance?
I don't know that the Falcons would get better by making a big change. This is the guy they identified. This is the guy they went and hired when Lovie Smith was available, and you know, this was a basically Rich McKay's hire. And if he's got confidence that, that this guy is really going to be an effective coach, then you ought to stay the course. They had a good year the first, you know, the first time around, not so much the last two. They really have to figure out how to not only coach Michael Vick, but to make sure that he understands the coaching and plays in a scheme that, that, that suits his skills.
It's almost as if, though, when you make a mistake like this, it's just a matter of time. The clock is ticking for Jim Mora.
Yeah, I would think so. There's been, you know, this is one incident, but there have been others. There's been times that he kind of snapped at the media. There have been times that, you know, I've heard that there have been some very nasty internal discussions where he's just gone after guys in the public relations department and blamed them for things that probably really weren't their fault. So, you know, you like the guy who's effectively your CEO of football operations to be stable, grounded, at least somewhat facile with the media, and able to maintain command and control. And I'm not so sure he's having success on all those fronts.
Well, we're joined by Tim Brown. I thought that we'd turn the discussion away from the Pro Bowl and focus on one of the great stories of this season, which is the rise, the accelerated rise of Vince Young. And Tim, we're joined also by Larry Weissman from USA Today. Thanks for joining us in your very busy schedule, buddy.
No problem, man. No problem.
When you look at the experience you had, Tim Brown, with the Raiders and the kind of leadership you had at quarterback, everybody is saying that a running quarterback, whether it's Michael Vick or even Jeff Garcia, creates different things. But Vince Young is a totally different package to me. His size, his confidence. Tell me about Vince Young and what is different about him, not just the usual cliche that he's a running quarterback.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that's really different about this kid is the fact that he is a leader, and I know you've heard that about, you know, this guy, that guy, but, you know, when they came back and beat Houston, and I know it's Houston, but still, for them to come back and beat Houston the way they did, you know, you hear the players in the locker room say, this guy looked us in the eyes, you know, before that last drive and was asking who wants it, you know, and talking to the players like that. Well, that's not something that you hear a rookie quarterback say. You know, that's not something that you hear a guy who's supposed to be green at that position step into a huddle and say. But this is a guy who loves those type situations, who loves to have the ball in his hands when everything is on the line. And, you know, and I've been saying on our show that, you know, I have not seen a rookie quarterback ever come into the league since I've been following ball anyway and do the same things he did in college and is to do those things in the pros as a rookie. And to be able to do that so quickly, I don't think Michael Vick played this well. I don't know if he even played that much his rookie year. So I think this is really an incredible thing that we're seeing. And really the future for this kid is brighter than ever because he's getting some great, great lessons on the field right now, and he's passing all the tests. So if they can go ahead and win out this year and playoffs, it would be one incredible, incredible feat for that team and for them.
Larry Weissman, before we let you go, how unique is his talent, Vince Young? Do you think this is the kind of guy that is going to be a Hall of Famer? And truly, they use the phrase as redefining the position. Is he?
Well, I think he's well on his way to doing that. I think every team is starting to recognize the value of a quarterback who can extend plays by the way he scans the field, the way he moves. I think over time you'll see Vince Young maybe take it upfield a little bit less and really look for receivers. You know, I'm a little loath to put anybody in the Hall of Fame after about, you know, nine starts, but the things that you see in this guy are the things, let's say, that you don't see in Eli Manning. As Tim was saying, players need to look to someone for confidence. They need to feel that this game is winnable, even when it doesn't look that way. And Vince Young gives you that and has certainly that intangible. He's won at every level, and I think the Titans deserve some credit, too, for letting him be the kind of player he is and not trying to shoehorn him into some tight loafer of an offense.
Tim Brown, one interesting statistic. We only got a minute here, but Tennessee was 0-for-8 on third down and 0-for-1 on fourth down against Jacksonville. So there's got to be something between the lines there that Vince is providing that's way beyond the statistics.
Well, you know, the players feed off each other, and what you're seeing now is you're seeing the defense feed off the offense, and the defense picked it up last week and got everything done, you know. So But that's what happens when you get a team, one side of the team playing great, usually the other feed off of that, and you'll see the other side step it up and do something miraculous like the offense has been doing. And so that's what's happening with Tennessee right now. And if I'm a team playing Tennessee and I got to make it beat them to make it to the playoff, I don't want to see them right now because I think they are playing on all cylinders and they're finding ways to win games, and that's what it's all about in this league, finding a way to win football games.
Well, thanks for finding a way to be on this show, both you and Larry Weissman. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Be well. We'll be right back with J.C. Pearson, Gary McCord, and Amy Mullins on Head Games on Sirius Satellite and Sports Byline.
This is Merlin Olson. Have you called the NASE yet? The National Association for the Self-Employed is one of your best resources.
Chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. So why not make a free phone call right now that could save you up to 50%, maybe even more, on quality term life insurance from Matrix Direct Insurance Services. Whether you're buying life insurance for the first time or cutting back on the cost of an overpriced policy, one free call to Matrix Direct is the simple and affordable way to get the term life insurance you need. Call Matrix Direct today, because chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. Here's the number, 1-800-471-TERM. The call is free, the quote is free, and there's no obligation. Call Matrix Direct now. 1-800-471-TERM. 1-800-471-TERM. That's 1-800-471-TERM. Call now.
This is Merlin Olson. Have you called the NASE yet? The National Association for the Self-Employed is one of your best resources to obtain access to affordable health, dental, vision, and critical illness plans. The NASC also offers other health, business, and personal benefits. If you are self-employed or own a small business, do what I did. Call the National Association for the Self-Employed. Call today to find out how the NASC can be your best resource for affordable benefits.
Call the NASC now. 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Big solutions for small businesses. Insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. Association membership may not be required to obtain insurance, so call right now. 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Not available in all states.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that's helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
It's been 3 months now. I've been on Avacor, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old.
We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair. Call 800-450-9743 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-450-9743. All of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free.
Avacor really works. I just love it. It's like a miracle. I couldn't be happier.
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's 800-450-9743. 800-450-9743.
That's another stroke penalty, two-shot penalty for hitting yourself with a golf ball. And then it bopped down the bunker, buried again. He had to blast out fire, and he kept whistling. That would have been me. I would have taken that golf cart and thrown it into the lake.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Welcome back to Head Games. By the way, we're here in Kansas City at the YMCA. We want to thank Gene Dooley and the great staff here, one of the great organizations in the country in working with youth sports. Tomorrow's show will focus on youth sports. But joining me right now, we want to thank Larry Weissman and Tim Brown for joining us in the first segment. And J.C. Pearson was a teammate of mine with the Kansas City Chiefs. He also was a teammate of Jim Mora. And J.C., you're covering Tampa Bay. Before we get to Tampa Bay, let's talk about this Jim Mora situation. Your insight should be pretty good.
Well, like you said, I played with Jim Moore and Hugh Millen, the guy on the other end of the radio with Jimmy. And those guys are great friends. They've always been great friends. And, you know, if you know that history, then you can understand, well, maybe it was a joke. But when you just listen to the quote, just as a person that has no idea about the background, Jimmy sounds like he was serious. And in fact, during his quote, he at one point said, I'm serious. So, you know, I think that he definitely does probably want to get back to the University of Washington. I think the way that it came out was probably wrong, because obviously he's still in the midst of a season playoff run.
It just betrays the trust level. The trust is everything. We've talked to Dick Vermeil and Tony Dungy and Herman Edwards and Marty Schottenheimer and Marv Levy. I mean, we talked to 15 head coaches on the show. And every one of them says, if you don't have trust with your players, you don't have anything. And that trust is gone in Atlanta.
Well, I think it is now, and I think it's been for a while. Obviously, with the whole Michael Vick situation and Jimmy's father coming out a few weeks ago and saying that he's a coach killer, and that, I think that kind of divided them. Michael Vick's been kind of grumbling that he wants to get out of there. And, you know, it hasn't been a good situation down there. And obviously, Jimmy's probably thinking about, what am I going to do next? And it came out in the wrong way, because right now Washington still has a coach in Ty Willingham, and the Falcons have a coach in Jimmy Moore. So, you know, you don't want to violate any of that.
We talked about Vince Young in the last segment. I'd like your opinion of the comparison between a Vince Young and a Michael Vick, because as Tim Brown said, even Michael Vick did not come out with the same sort of leadership skills, the kind of confidence in that first year that Vince Young shows.
Well, I think obviously they're two great athletes and two great quarterbacks. Michael Vick, of course, I think it's with coaching, because when you look at Vince Young, Norm Chow is fantastic.
And he had a chance to draft Matt Leinart.
Right, his guy from USC. And when you go all the way back, Norm Chow took Carson Palmer to a Heisman Trophy, took Matt Leinart to a Heisman Trophy. That USC offense was fantastic. And now he's in Tennessee, and he's really groomed Vince Young. And I really think it's coaching. And, you know, Michael Vick in the past has talked about the lack of coaching there in Atlanta, and then they have Knapp down there with him for the second year. So he's gone through a lot of different systems, and he's taken a lot of criticism about not being able to throw the ball. But I'll tell you what, that guy can throw the football. There is no question about his arm strength. But I think the difference in those guys right now, at this stage of their careers, where Vince Young is and where Michael Vick was, is Norm Chow.
Norm Chow, I totally agree with you. Norm Chow, I think, is one of the most gifted. To say that his system doesn't work in the NFL, give me a break. This team, by the way, as Tim Brown closed with saying, I wouldn't want to be playing the Tennessee Titans this
Nobody
time.
Does.
They're peaking at the right time. Tell us about this game coming up this week. J.C. Pearson from Fox Sports. We want to plug Fox Sports. A great job you're doing there. Tim Brown from Fox Sports.
Thank you.
You guys, I love the way you cover the game itself. Tampa Bay, we were watching Tampa Bay getting in a lot of fights, almost a little bit like the New York Knicks trying to get in
right
with the Nuggets. I mean, when you're outmanned, you try to create things. But the bottom line is, Tampa Bay was getting some pressure on, Chicago's defense was not putting pressure on Tampa
right
Bay. There's something going on that was exposed by Tampa Bay that allowed Tampa Bay to score those late touchdowns, because Chicago's defense does not have that push in the middle.
Well, a couple things. Obviously, they made a switch at quarterback, and Tim Rattay came in. Bruce Gradkowski is a rookie who is struggling down in Tampa Bay. They made that switch, and Rattay brought him back. When you look at the Bears, of course, inside, Tank Johnson had his issues last week. We all know about that. But
major
also
issues.
Major issues, but also Tommy Harris is injured. And those two guys inside gave those guys tremendous push. And obviously, Tommy Harris is out. Tank Johnson is out again this week. Who knows what that situation is going to evolve into. But the Bears have to win it with defense and special teams. I don't think Rex Grossman is at a point right now where he can carry that team to a Super Bowl.
And there's something about the Chicago defensive mix I'd be interested in, because turnovers were a big thing for Marty Schottenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
Something about the Chicago defense, even without that push in the middle, where they find a way to turn the ball over. What is it that they do specifically? We try to get into the technique a little. What's technique you do to turn that ball over?
Well, they play a lot of cover too, obviously. Lovie Smith came from Tony Dungy. They're all disciples. Herman Edwards, all those guys came from Tampa Bay, and they run that Tampa too. And they have great personnel. When you look at their linebacking core with Urlacher and Lance Briggs, those are two of the best in the league. And obviously, I'm glad to see Lance Briggs got voted to the Pro Bowl, because he's very deserving. But those guys, they play the football. And when you play a lot of zone coverage, everybody's seeing the ball. When you play man coverage, you're focusing in coverage on the man, not the football. So you're not having as many people rally to the football, but when everybody's playing zone coverage, everybody's watching the quarterback, they're all seeing the ball, now you get 11 guys rallying to the football every play, and when you have good, aggressive players doing it, it creates turnovers.
Here's another interesting thing. Seth Joyner was on our show yesterday talking about the lack of technique, that defense has become so much about athleticism and schemes. And you compare, I remember very vividly, seeing Ray Lewis getting his lunch handed to him by Will Shields,
right,
by the offensive lineman in that older scheme, that,
right,
where he was a 4-3. And he had to take on some linemen. Now they're back to 3-4. Now he can run from sideline to sideline. He doesn't have to take on defensive linemen. But Seth's point is, because Seth was one of those old-school linebackers that could take on, not only take on linemen, but cover on the pass and make a good tackle, rush the passer. His point is, even a Brian Urlacher, even a Ray Lewis today don't seem to have the technique. Think how much better they would be if they knew how to have that technique to leverage against big players.
Well, that goes across the board. When you look at defensive backs, you look at wide receivers, you look at interior linemen, all those guys right now, I think, are lacking a lot of technique, a lot of fundamentals. And, you know, you get so caught up in numbers. How big are they? How strong are they? How fast do they run? That doesn't necessarily translate into a good football player. We all know that, everyone that has lined up and played. And right now, I think coaches are relying more on just athletic ability, speed, quickness. How fast are you? How quick can you get to the ball? As opposed to teaching another guy who may be a smarter, better football player mentally, but may not be as fast, but has the technique to create no false steps. You know, you get from point A to point B quicker than a guy who has a lot of speed, but now he's false-stepping or he's reading the wrong thing, and now, you know, he's playing from behind.
We're talking with J.C. Pearson, my former teammate with the Chiefs and one of the rising stars. You're a rising star, young man.
How about that? Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Baltimore team and another defense that could be a match for Chicago, and a team that knows how to turn the ball over, big play team. What's the difference with them?
No question. Baltimore's a good team. You know, I think when you look at the AFC, I think San Diego's probably the best team in the AFC right now. But Baltimore is right there. Obviously, they're playing great defense. And like you said, they've gone out and they've covered up Ray Lewis again. They've drafted the big guy out of Oregon, Helote Nata, the big defensive lineman, that nose guard.
From the Northwest, you know how to pronounce that, right?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, he's a big 340-pound guy, so now he's protecting and keeping those guys off of Ray Lewis. So Ray Lewis and those guys now are able to run to the ball again. But they play great defense. They're very aggressive. They attack. That's the one thing I like about those guys, is they attack the line of scrimmage offensively. You know, Jamal Lewis is getting back into it. Steve McNair is really, you know, kind of solidified that, although he went out last week and Kyle Bowler came in and threw two big touchdowns.
Exactly.
Yeah, you've got a great backup guy. So, I mean, they're definitely a team to contend with.
How much is it that the head coach has taken over the play calling and removed that lack of clarity in decision making?
That was big. Before they did that, they were struggling offensively, and then Brian Billick made that switch and said, hey, I'm going to take over the play calling, and they've kind of been on a roll since then. And Brian Billick, all the way back to the Minnesota days, he's had great offenses, so he knows offense, and he said, hey, you know, if we're going to go down, I'm going to go down doing it my way, and obviously they're doing a great job.
J.C. Pearson with us from Fox Television, Fox Sports. You've got Tampa Bay this week. Tell us about that matchup.
Yeah, I've got Tampa Bay in Cleveland, two teams that are struggling. I mean, to be honest with you, Tampa Bay, a lot of expectations coming into the season, just haven't lived up to it. Chris Sims got hurt early in the season, had that spleen injury, and had to have emergency surgery.
He'll be back though, right?
Hopefully he'll be back. They're trying to re-sign him right now, actually, and they have to, because they've got nothing else. They thought the rookie Gradkowski was going to be the answer. He's not the answer, so they put Tim Rattay in, who will start this week. But they're struggling all over. And defensively, time catches up to you. And they've been great defensively for so long, but I think the Derrick Brookses, the Shelton Quarles, Simeon Rices, those guys are getting up in age now. And when you look at that defense, they only have one Pro Bowler now in Rondae Barber, whereas before they used to have four or five guys annually.
Tampa Bay's had a coach that people had tremendous respect for, that had great success at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened?
You know, it doesn't matter what system you run. You've got to have players to run it. Yeah, and that's what I think,
what
people lose sight. Obviously, you know, you have salary cap issues now, because, you know, in this age of free agency and the salary cap, it's tough to continue to field a competitive team year after year. And they're going to be rebuilding for the next couple of years. There's no question about it because, like I said earlier, they're getting older on defense. They've got to make some changes.
In our last 30 seconds, we've talked about Chicago. We've talked about no big surprises here. The thing is, there are all these guys in the middle. The guys at the top are pretty obvious. So it's San Diego is your pick right now to go the way?
San Diego is my pick.
Even with the Marty factor.
Even with the Marty factor. As long as Marty doesn't mess it up. They'll be great.
And we both love Marty. I'll tell you what, Marty was the best coach I ever had.
Yeah,
And I think he's learned a lesson. To me, JC, the fact that he let the offense open up a little bit.
Yes, he's changed.
Even with a young quarterback, he let the offense. I mean, maybe it's the LT factor.
He's changed. And when you've got great players like LaDainian Tomlinson, it makes it a lot easier. But he has definitely changed from the days when we've had him. No more Marty ball.
All right. That was JC Pearson. Thanks, my friend.
All right, man.
JC Pearson for Fox Television. We'll be right back with Amy Mullins. And Gary McCord, what a duo. Stay with us.
When other people say, sorry, sold out, Tickets Now says, where would you like to sit? You like to control your own destiny. You do what you want to do, and you go where you want to go. Why not sit where you want to sit? Tickets Now has the choice seats for every major sports, concert and theater event in North America. From the 50-yard line to orchestra seats to courtside, Tickets Now has the seats you really want. With Tickets Now, buying tickets is easy. And each transaction is backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to ticketsnow.com today, where the words sold out are not a part of our vocabulary. ticketsnow.com. That's ticketsnow.com.
Do you have dry skin, cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns? Then use Cracked Heel Skin Softener from Blue Goo. Cracked Heel has lecithin, lanolin, and beeswax, plus emu oil to penetrate and soften the skin. Just massage Cracked Heel into your feet twice a day and feel the difference. Your feet will thank you. No more pain from cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns. Make your next step a comfortable one with Cracked Heel Skin Softener. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Keep the adventure in your travels, not your drinking water. Go ahead, take the road less traveled, because now you can have purified drinking water anytime, anywhere, just by packing a simple 8-ounce tool. SteriPen is compact, chemical-free, and kills over 99.99% of all unhealthy organisms in your drinking water within seconds. SteriPen is simple to use, so you can enjoy the journey and the drinking water. Available at REI stores everywhere, or go to REI.com. SteriPen, safe drinking water anywhere.
Golf, America's in love with the game. Hi, I'm Jay Ritchie. Join me each week for Tee to Green, the golf show, where America talks golf. We'll have a lot of fun, and we're here to help you improve your game. We'll explore the country's best courses, check out the newest equipment, and we'll hear from some of the biggest names in the sport on Tee to Green, the golf show. Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, on Sirius Channel 122 and the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a 7-game series once you get in that in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Welcome back to Head Games. You know, the more you read about Amy Mullins, this is a woman, a lady, an athlete, an actress, an advocate, a model. Amy Mullins, what do you not do?
I was just thinking, God, I'm exhausted listening to it. yeah, I don't get too much baking in these days.
No baking.
I've fallen behind on my holiday duties.
Do you do windows?
No.
Me neither. Hey, listen, let's talk about, speaking of gender roles and expectations, here you were one of three Americans selected at the age of, what, 18, 19, to have an internship in the 17 in the Pentagon. And you had, you were the youngest person with security clearance at the Pentagon. You end up going to Georgetown. You become a world record holder in the Paralympics. And people think of you now, the great experience and message that your story tells is that people look at you as a human being. They look at you for your abilities, not your disabilities. So tell us, with regard to your leadership now, you're the president-elect of the Women's Sports Foundation. And we talked a couple weeks ago with Dominique Dawes and you about the Olympic report card. The fact that during the Olympics, it sounds like the coverage of women in sports isn't bad. But in between, in those 3.5 years in between, there's almost no coverage of women.
Right. It drops off dramatically. And certainly drops off almost entirely for Paralympic athletes.
And there's some things that can be accomplished. One of them is that people like myself can take a little bit of role in telling the story about that. With respect to the Paralympics, not everybody knows about that. There are like something like almost 474 Paralympic athletes now every 4 years. It takes place the year of the Olympics, and many of the events are the same. 20% participation by women this past time. What are your goals in terms of increasing women's participation?
Well, you know, we've offered three recommendations from the Women's Sports Foundation. The International Paralympic Committee, you know, it's part of the Olympic movement. The IPC is not governed by the International Olympic Committee, but they certainly can be influenced by their example. And so the International Paralympic Committee could add women's ice sledge hockey to the 2010 games, and if they change the minimum of women players on the five-person mixed team in wheelchair curling. Right now, it's only you need one woman on a five-person mixed team, and if you establish the minimum of two players in each gender, that would definitely up the participation numbers from what they are. I mean, every year the Paralympic movement is growing, and unfortunately, the percentages of female male athletes has slipped because as we add more female athletes, they add even more male athletes.
Well, there's an assumption here, too, and do you know that there is an equal amount of women that are disabled in the way that would qualify them if they wanted to participate as men?
Is there an equal number of women?
The pool, in other words. Is the pool of women the same size as the pool of men, potentially?
It's an interesting question, Nick, because I was just trying to do some research on this yesterday. I know, in my own particular case as an amputee, I know that there are more male amputees than there are female amputees. But I have to say the data collection on this has been, you know, next to nothing. We don't really have the research there and data collection to get some accountability from, okay, how can we, you know, set up a system of metrics to measure against, you know, what the population is of female athletes with disabilities versus male with disabilities, and then go from there. So, I mean, this is the first year. What's fantastic about this report card concept is that the Women's Sports Foundation is offering that metrics. We're starting now. So 2010, you know, 2008 Summer Games will have a report card, and 2010 will have a review as well. So we can start to see, you know, how we measure up and continue to make recommendations that assist the IOC and the IPC in their mission.
We're talking with Amy Mullins, who is, I'm sorry, but I just love this. To read your story is amazing, and you're getting more and more involved in movies. You've been modeling. You have a great academic background as well. You're a world record holder in the Paralympics in the 100 meters, the 200 meters, the long jump. What was your long jump, by the way?
What was my long jump?
Uh-huh.
It was 364 meters.
How on earth do you do that?
You know, the motivation of having your butt hit the sand as opposed to the macadam is motivation enough, Nick, to jump. But, you know, I was the first person who's a bilateral amputee missing limbs on below the knee on both sides to even attempt the long jump. So it was really, you know, there's been a lot of development in the last 10 years for athletes with disabilities. Technology is astounding, and now, I certainly grew up with images of a bionic woman, and I don't think it's far off that I certainly believe in my lifetime an amputee will run faster than an able-bodied runner.
You're the bionic woman. I'm going to say it right now, and I hope we can have you on in a couple more weeks. But, Amy, let's be specific. People listening right now that want to learn more about the Women's Sports Foundation and particularly this report card, how do they get a hold of that?
Oh, you can go to the website. It's www.womensportsfoundation.org, and you can see, you know, we have there the report card, and certainly you'll be able to get updates. You can join our newsletter and see the great work that the Women's Sports Foundation is doing to try to get more women participating and to get more women in the governance structure of the International Olympic Committee and Paralympic Committee.
Right now, on the IPC, there are 15 members, and there are only two that are women. How would you change that?
Oh, well, I mean, I think a lot of it's just bringing attention to this problem. I think this is the first step. You know, I was astounded to see that in the IOC, it's the same percentage, 13% of the committee, of the International Olympic Committee, is women, and the same thing on the Paralympic Committee. The fact that already that the Olympic Committee is 115 members and the Paralympic Committee is 15 members says a lot to me about priorities. But, you know, when we're looking at dismal participation rates, 38% women for the Olympics, 20% women for the Paralympics, and our leadership doesn't even measure up to those dismal numbers when we're only looking at 13% women in leadership positions, you know, it makes it difficult. If we don't see the women out there doing this, you're not giving little girls something to look up to and a vision and something, a reality that they can say, I can do this too.
Let's talk about a specific thing, because I think it helps people visualize changes. One of the things is specific sports, that women's sports that are added to. And there's one called ice sledge hockey in the Winter
right.
Games. Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, it's something that should be added, we feel, for the next Paralympic Games, because there's certainly enough women athletes who can play that sport and want to play that sport. And it would tremendously boost the numbers of participation for the next Paralympic Games if they added that. And so right now it's a sport that they have for the men, but they don't have it for the women. So, you know, essentially it's anybody, amputees, wheelchair athletes, you know, if different levels of paralysis, they play ice hockey, but they do it on these, well, they call them sledges. So essentially they're much closer to the surface of the ice.
Okay, now, we're going to get technical here, but we're talking with Amy Mullins about how women in sports can be encouraged. It's not always men. It's not always the good old boy network as well. Sometimes it's women understanding that they can take a role more. Final question to you, Amy Mullins, who is the president-elect. When do you take over as president, by the way?
January 1.
In January. So, you know, I hope we can have you on in a couple of weeks, and we'll give you a state of you know, Congress, your inaugural address, if you will. But let's talk about financial incentives, just very quickly. How do you increase the number of quality technical assistants for women in events where they're underrepresented?
Well, you offer these financial incentives. This is where the IOC and the IPC can really step up their game here. And if they allocate financial incentives to the international federations so that the quality technical assistance programs increase, that the number of them, these programs increase for the national organizing committees in these events in which women are underrepresented, you'll really start to see a difference, you know, and especially even for sports where, you know, that aren't even offered to women on the Winter Games calendar for Olympics and the Paralympics. I think, you know, if you really start to, you know, it's sad to say, but money talks, and if you give these financial incentives to the organizing committees and to the international federations, I think we'll start to see a big improvement.
Well, Amy, thanks for joining us, and we're seeing a big improvement in being able to cover what you're doing, and hope and maybe in a couple of weeks we'll give your inaugural address and talk about this in more detail. Really appreciate your
thanks,
leadership.
Nick. We do appreciate it. We really appreciate that you're doing your part to increase coverage of women's sports in the media.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Happy holidays.
Same to you. Amy Mullins. Gary McCord, you're up there playing golf. What a big surprise. How are you?
I'm not playing golf. I'm working today. I'm actually working today.
You don't work. Give me a break.
I work.
You don't even know what work is. Your idea of work is sitting in front of that TV and adding up the scorecard.
I'm acting today. That's my job today. I have to act.
You're doing another infomercial?
I'm doing a commercial, yes.
Is this one of these ones where they say if you get one more club that's the size of, you know, an elephant leg, the ball's going to go 500 yards?
No, it's actually not even about golf. It's a secret. I can't tell you right now, Nick. I'll tell you later. I can't tell you right now in the air.
Or else you'd have to kill me, right?
I have to kill you. Or at least have
all right.
Leg stuff.
All right. Well, you know what? Speaking of women in sports, Michelle Wee decided to go to Stanford, even though she can't play at Stanford. Do you think that's a smart move for her at her age?
Well, I think, you know, obviously her parents have got they've got some education background, being professors. So yeah, she's going to get an education. They're going to make her do that. Probably a real good time to get her to focus on some math and some philosophy and stuff like that, and take her mind off the golf game right now for a little bit. So I think it's a good move. Go in there for a couple of years and see what happens.
We're talking with Gary McCord from CBS Golf in our last few minutes on the show. Gary, Jennifer Capriati, another young woman, a phenomenon who burned out early and then took time off, came back, played better than ever. Tell me about what your advice would be if you were talking to Michelle Wee about how to time her career so that she enjoys it and yet she also masters it at the right time.
Well, it's too late to talk to her about that. You should have done that when she was like 12 or 13. Right now, she's got people pulling and pushing from all different angles. Nike from one end, and you know her parents from the other end, and now she's got Stanford going from this, and you know she's trying to get her game ready to play in a couple of men's events to try to make a cut. So it's kind of late for her right now. She's already she knows her destiny, and now she's got to figure out the steps to get there and make sure she doesn't fall along the way. And whatever she figures out, it's going to be the best for her, and she'll go about doing that with some kind of repetition. I just hope she doesn't just keep playing the men all the time, because if you constantly get your head beat in, pretty soon you think you suck. I know I've done that my whole career. So you need to beat somebody once in a while to have a nice self-image, about yourself. So hopefully,
you know, Peter Costas, your partner at the McCord Costas, who says he's got a restraining on you, order on you to keep you away from actually coaching the guys. But seriously, he said Tom Watson one time when he was having problems with his putting, he would beat the size. He saw him beating the size of the hole in just so the ball would go in more to increase his confidence. In our last minute in this segment, what would you suggest to people listening that is the most healthy way to increase their confidence?
Well, I mean, if it is putting, and I've done that a lot, I mean, you sit back there and you can't make it from 20 feet or 10 feet or whatever, I'll put a bunch of balls and stay there for a half hour over a two-footer. I can't miss it. I just keep making it. After about a half hour, I go, hey, I'm a pretty good putter.
Listen, when we come back, let's talk about that with Gary McCord in our last couple minutes. CBS Golf's best, most entertaining, and insightful wise man. We'll be right back with Gary McCord from CBS on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite. We'll be right back.
Is credit card debt making your life miserable?
Are you tired of harassing phone calls and struggling to make ends meet?
You may qualify for a little-known program through Debt Consultants of America.
This program allows you to pay back only a small portion of the credit card debt you owe.
In fact, up to 60% of your credit card debt could completely be wiped clean.
It's a proven program.
The best part is Debt Consultants of America does all the work for you.
Plus, you don't have to pay back a penny of the debt that they settle for you.
So grab all your credit card statements and call for a free, no-obligation consultation.
Their friendly counselors will give you all the details.
Call 800-761-3480. That's 800-761-3480.
You need to have at least $10,000 in credit card debt to qualify for this program.
For your free, no-obligation consultation, please call us. 800-761-3480. Call now. 800-761-3480.
Hi, I'm Robert Wagner with an important message for homeowners 62 years or older. If you own a home, you may be able to pay off your current mortgage or access the equity in your home without making any monthly loan payments. That's right, no monthly loan payments. A U.S. government-insured reverse mortgage allows you to convert the equity in your home into cash, giving you the financial independence you deserve. The tax-free proceeds won't affect Social Security or Medicare benefits, and you can use the money for almost any purpose you desire. The Senior Lending Network program has prepared a free educational video that explains how a reverse mortgage works, how to qualify, and how you can supplement your income without any monthly loan payments. If you're a homeowner 62 years or older, your free video is waiting. So call now.
For a free educational video from the Senior Lending Network on reverse mortgages, call 800-995-4280. 800-995-4280.
Senior Lending Network is a program by Mortgage Warehouse, a licensed mortgage banker, New York State Banking Department. Caller's information will be shared with lenders who are members of the program. Consult your tax advisor regarding tax implications.
How would you like to cut your credit card payments by 30% or more? Genesis Financial can help. They have a program that can reduce your high interest rates to single digits or even 0%. You can get more cash in your pocket every month to ease the stress and burden of excessive credit card bills.
Genesis Financial helped us, so we can sleep at night again.
We can even answer our phone.
The weight's been lifted off our shoulders.
Working with Genesis, we truly feel like our prayers were answered.
Get a fresh start without going bankrupt, plus get hundreds of dollars back in your pocket. Call now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Let them show you how to cut your debt by 30% or more and save you thousands in interest, late fees, and penalties. The consultation is absolutely free. Call 800-470-4331. That's 800-470-4331. Don't wait another minute.
Genesis Financial gave us our life back.
Not available in all states. Individual results may vary. Genesis Financial, 800-470-4331.
Welcome back to Head Games. We want to thank Tim Brown from Fox Sports, my good friend J.C. Pearson, Larry Weissman from USA Today, Amy Mullins from the Women's Sports Foundation. Tomorrow's show, Peter Roby from the Center for the Study of Sport and Society, Kevin Young, baseball star from Major League Baseball, talking about blacks in baseball, talking about spitting, brawls, violence, all that fun stuff. Then we'll go to U Sports, talking about people that start too early, kids that are being coached with professionals at the age of 4 or 5. When to say when to start too early. And speaking of Michelle Wee and starting too early, Gary McCord, is there an age when a golfer should wait to play? Is there a time when you can just let them have fun and not worry about the fundamentals?
Well, you should always worry about the fundamentals, especially when they're young. You have started off right, they're going to end up playing golf like you do. So you get a
Thank
nice...
Thank you.
Good.
And you haven't even
nice
seen me play.
I know I haven't, but I can just assume. Give them a nice foundation.
And you're right.
If they want to go in and let them, then go let them play. Let them have fun. Don't push them or anything like that. If they like it, you know, it's tough to get kids into golf with all the other stuff going on, the basketball, the baseball, and so forth. But now with Tiger being there and running the show, basically, and making all that money, there's a lot of parents who are kind of going pushing their kids towards golf because it's kind of a, you know, it sounds like a pretty good deal. So you get them a good foundation and let them go. But I don't like the parents, you know, pushing them and going to the tournaments and yelling at them and stuff like that. That just doesn't get it. Just let them have some fun. If they want to get good, let's forget a lesson.
Yeah, don't you think the foundation, though, is, yes, it's basic stroke wisdom, but it's also knowing how to have fun, just the sheer joy of hitting the ball and nothing else?
Well, yeah, I can just tell you, when I grew up, my parents just dropped me off at the golf course, and I'd go 45, 50, 54 holes a day on this stuff. And it was a babysitter, you know, it was perfect. You just go out and have some fun and go, and I liked it, you know. I liked the solitude of the whole thing, so... And no one really pushed me into it, and I just kind of, you know, went about my way and got on the tour and did all that stuff. So it was that's the way I did it. The kids nowadays, I think, there's more of a foundation to it.
Well, thanks for joining us, Gary. Appreciate all the great stuff you do on CBS. We'll be looking for you, big guy, and Happy New Year.
You too, big boy. We'll see you later.
We love you, man. Again, we want to thank Tim Brown, J.C. Pearson from Fox Sports. We want to thank Larry Weissman from USA Today and Amy Mullins from the Women's Sports Foundation. If you want to learn more about this, go to headgamesradio.com. You can click on to get all the highlights. Tomorrow's show again. Kevin Young, one of the more interesting baseball players, talking about blacks in baseball. They're only 9% in baseball versus about 80% in the NBA and 70% in the NFL. Peter Roby from the Center for the Study of Sport and Society. And then U Sports, when to say when. If you want to talk about when your child should learn the joy of sport versus worrying about winning or losing, stay tuned for tomorrow's show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.